Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. CWX, you are dismissed. 1 John chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 13 and read these three verses here. 1 John 5, starting in verse 13, the Apostle John says this to us this morning. I write these things to you. Here's the main thesis statement of the letter of John. And I've introduced it to you this way several times in the past in this 1 John sermon series, and I'll introduce it to you again in a fresh way this morning here. Here's his thesis statement for the letter. Here's his main idea. I write these things to you who believe. He's writing to Christians. In the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It is God's desire for you that if you are a believer this morning, that you have full assurance of your salvation with zero doubting. In verse 14. The sermon is called Confidence this morning, and I get it from verse 14. This is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. And here is the main idea that I want to present to you this morning from these three verses. It's this: bold prayers are the result of confident Christians who are completely assured of their salvation. There's a couple of things going on in my heart this morning as I deliver the message to you. The first thing is trials and suffering is on my heart this week. I know that conversations I've had with some of you and conversations that I have heard that some of you have had with others that just come to pastors' ears from time to time, whether they are meant to or not, they're just in my ears and have been for the past couple of weeks. And so I come to the sermon today with trials on my heart because I know that many of you are going through one right now. And I know that many of you come to the service with things on your heart that you have shared or maybe secret things that you haven't shared. And you are looking to be fed this morning by the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for you all week has been that he would comfort you in whatever it is you're going through. Could be a relationship. Could be marital tension. Could be family troubles. Could be your job. Struggling to be a Christian at your job. Could be a health issue. Whatever it is, God has brought you to the service this morning. If you are despairing this morning of something, God has you here. Please hold on and please listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting in your heart this morning. The second thing that's on my heart is the topic of prayer, as we just read in these verses. I want to tell you where we're going in the next couple of weeks as we close out the book of 1 John. It's been such a privilege to walk through this wonderful letter with you. As we close out the book of 1 John, this week and next week are going to be on the topic of prayer. This week is going to be answering several questions, but one of the questions we'll answer today is, what does a confident Christian look like? Or maybe better stated to the topic of the sermon this morning, what do the prayers of a confident, fully assured Christian look like? And what might they produce, those prayers? What might that look like in your prayer closet privately? And what effect might it have on your marriage or your family or the sin you're struggling with or the trial that you're going through? What effect might it have? Next week, we will look at it through a larger perspective and a larger lens of what effect does five people, five confident Christians, five fully assured confident Christians praying the will of the Father, what fire might that start? What happens if 50 people do it? Pray. Seriously pray. Not just one prayer, but confidently, continuously, and consistently pray the scriptures and pray the will of God. What happens to a church when that happens? So that's where we're going. That's where John's taking us. Today is more about the individual. Next week is more about looking at it through the lens of the corporate body of Christ. So TGK Baptist Church, and I'm really trying to be careful not to get ahead of myself, but that's where the Holy Spirit is taking us. And so please go there this week in your prayers. What happens when a fully assured, confident Christian wears out holes in the knee part of his jeans throughout the week in prayer? What happens? Some of us don't even know because we've never taken the time to do that. And I challenge you to do that this week. I challenge you to take out the insert in your bulletin, flip it over, and use that in your family devotions this week as you lead your family in these questions. I challenge you to do that this week. Charles Spurgeon said this: I'd rather teach one man to pray than 100 men to preach. And there is a really serious reason why he said that. The reason he said that is because he knows that one man's prayers can change not just his life. One serious man in prayer can change his family's life and the trajectory of his family. One man's serious prayers can change his church. It was said of the enemies of John Knox, the Scottish reformer, that his enemies feared the prayers of John Knox more than they feared total armies coming into the country. Why? Because Scotland had the privilege of being a home to John Knox because of his prayers. That's how serious the man was about prayer. King David went to the throne often to pray and present his requests to the Lord. And many of them were granted. Some of them were not. Many of them were. And as we look at it individually this morning, my prayer all week has been that the Holy Spirit would drive you to your prayer closets. What you lack, and we do lack, no one man has it all, no one lady has it all. What you lack in your talents and your gifts to the Father, you will make up well in your private devotions, in your prayer life. Your prayer life and in your prayer closet, you will have the ability, through the grace and the strength of the Father, to overcome many things in your life that you would not be able to without that. And many of us just haven't gone there often enough or hard enough or consistent enough to be able to present your request to God in a confident manner. The sermon title today is Confidence. And the first thing you need to see from these verses is that an assured Christian is a confident Christian. Where this letter is going and where John has been taking us to and looking at the evidences of our salvation and assuring you, O Christian, that you are genuinely saved, the reason why John wants to create and that the Holy Spirit wants to create fully assured, confident Christians is because John knows that those people produce powerful, bold prayers. And the opposite of that is true also. To the degree that you lack confidence in your prayer life is probably the degree in which you are unassured of your salvation. That's the opposite way of saying it. A fully assured, confident Christian prays a lot. And those two things don't clash together. They complement each other. Confidence and bold prayers. They go together. You might think that those things are opposite. A confident person, the world would tell you, doesn't need anybody, do they? They got it all together. Got the answers. They're the confident guy in the tie around your office. They don't need anybody's help. The Christian is the exact opposite of that. Confidence and assurance go together for the Christian. Just because a Christian is confident and assured of his or her salvation does not mean they neglect prayer. It means they go to their closets in prayer because they know where their help comes from. The psalmist says, "Where does my help come from? My help, I lift my eyes up to the hills. My help comes from the Lord." It doesn't come from within. So the first thing you need to see in this text is that confident, assured Christians pray, and they pray powerfully, and they pray often. How many of us neglect our prayer closets throughout the week only to wonder why we still have problems in our lives? Go to your closet in prayer, and there you will be transformed by the Father. And God will hear your prayer favorably. When it says in verse 14 and 15 that God hears us, what that does not mean is that he just hears us and dismisses our prayers. Oh, I hear you. I hear you. No, this is a favorable hearing. This is a person, a child of God, that is fully assured of their faith, that comes to the Father with a broken heart. In their moment of trial, something inside of them, just like in Romans chapter 8, screams out of them, "Abba, Father," and the Spirit leads them into deep intercession, confident requests to the Lord, and they take it to the throne, and Scripture says that God hears favorably. That's what this word means. It means that he hears you, Christian, favorably. He is listening to your prayers. Do not give up praying. Satan wants us to stop praying. If you're like me, you read these verses and you think at first, great, whatever I ask, I'm going to get it. But the key is in verse 14. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. These verses do not mean, Christian, oh great, so I can pray for whatever and God is going, as long as I'm confident in it, God is going to present that request, I'm going to present that request to God and God's going to give it to me automatically. That is not what these verses are saying. These verses are saying if you pray something according to God's will, then and only then will he grant your request. And so that begs a question, doesn't it? Do we sometimes pray for things that are not God's will? Unintentionally, yes. I believe in that the heart of this church is in a right place for praying. The fields are being plowed for the prayers right now, for us to take prayer seriously. Seeds are being planted. Our mission statement for the church is we are a praying church that da 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 da. You know it. That's the first thing in our mission statement. We are a praying church. So what is it going to take for us to actually do the thing that's in our mission statement and become a praying church? Is confident Christians who are fully assured of their salvation. And so back to the question, yes, sometimes we unintentionally pray for God's will. Good things that you're bringing to the Father for help with. Father, save my lost coworker. I've been praying for 5 years that you would save this person. God, why haven't you saved them yet? These are good prayers that you're praying. This isn't God, give me a Lamborghini prayer. I believe you're praying for good things that God just simply has not given you yet. And I don't know why. Here's what I do know. That God wants you to keep praying. He wants you to continue in prayer. Verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have towards him. Doesn't quite do it in the original language in the Greek. This is the picture here that John's giving us. This word is in his presence. It's not just towards him. This is the confidence that you have, O Christian, when you take your requests into your prayer closets in the presence of God. So you're requesting to enter into the throne room of heaven by your request. And you're there. You picture the scene. You've been there. Some of you are there right now because of, again, this sermon is, I'm mixing suffering and prayer together because they absolutely go together. The Spirit, this is where the Spirit has taken me this week. So you're there in your prayer closets and you're presenting your request to the Father and you are searching the will of God. This is why this is not a text about a one-time prayer, but a continual string of intercessory prayers on behalf of someone else, perhaps, to the Father, or on your behalf for your trial. So the Father is meeting you in your prayer closet, and you are seeking his will. We don't know his will. Paul prays, I'm not sure what to pray. Do I pray that God would take me to heaven, which would be far better, or do I pray that God would keep me here because it would be far more beneficial for you? I'm not sure what to pray. You're in a Romans 8 situation. You have suffering going on. Father, Holy Spirit, just take my prayer and use it for your glory and pray the will of God. I do not know what to pray for. And some of you are right there this morning. You do not know what the will of the Father is. And let me encourage you, stay there. Keep praying is what I mean by stay there. Continually pray. Prayer, we must get this morning. Holy Spirit, help us. By continually praying in prayer, you will not only gain confidence, but you will gain confidence because the Holy Spirit will begin to conform you to the will of God so that you can pray the will of God. Amen. The first time that you pray for something in this situation where you do not know what to pray for, it is very unlikely that you are praying the will of God. And that is from experience that I tell you that. But the reason why this passage is here for you today is because God wants you to continually pray and thus be conformed to his will in the situation. I had a professor say, if I thought my prayers changed God, I would never pray again. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes you. God does not need to be changed. We need to be changed. Right? God is not the sinner. We are the ones in sin. Our hearts are the hearts that are deceptive and wicked above all things. God's heart is crystal clear and perfect. Your prayers change you. They do not change God. And praise be to God for that. I need to know what God's will is so that I can confidently pray it. And Christian, one of the reasons why God has not granted your request yet is because he wants you to go back to the prayer closet to change you. You have not prayed long enough to be changed yet. And as Christians, we gotta learn this lesson all over again in life. How many messages on prayer do you have to hear, and do I have to hear to do this? We have to constantly be reminded of this. This is why the atheists and lost people don't believe in God. I've had counseling sessions with these folks, and so have you. One of the big reasons why an atheist or a lost person is the way they are and have not bowed the knee to Christ is this story. You've heard it. Here it is. Because they'll say your name, that they're talking to you. They'll say, hey, because I prayed to God once and nothing happened. What's your counsel to that person? Do you counsel them? Well, dude, it's because God hates you. We have to pray differently than lost people do. Lost people give up after one prayer. Christians should not. The opposite of that is a continual lifestyle of prayer to God. And God wants you to be there to change you. And perhaps the reason why he has not granted your request is because he still has some lessons to teach you. God help us if we give up prayer. Take my house from me and take my car. Take away my health. But do not take away my sword and do not take away my prayer. That's where a Christian lives. And that is a lifelong lesson to be learned. And so we continue in prayer. Satan wants you to stop. He wants you to give up. If you're like me, you look at this verse and you say, or you're thinking right now, because I thought that this week, yeah, but God, what about that thing that I'm praying for right now that I have been praying for a long time that you have decided not to answer? How does that make me confident in you, God? I cry out with no reply. It's just silent. God, what about that thing? And by the way, that is just like Satan. Eve, don't look at all the other billion trees that you can eat from. Look at the one darn tree that you can't. And you forget. We so easily forget the answered prayers that God has led you to your whole life. We just forget. We forget the goodness of God because in the moment your trial has you so wrapped and Satan has you on your little island of pity and of sorrow that you are stuck. You get out of it by constantly and continually soaking your request in prayer, and over time, God changes you. God wants you to keep praying so that your prayers begin to align with his will. And once you begin to see God move, that creates confidence. And confident praying Christians are scary people. Woo! Anybody know somebody that's like, I'm going to go tell that person because when that person starts praying, stuff just starts happening. I can't explain it. It's like God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that person right there. And what is it about that person in your life? What is it? There's a famous story of this famous preacher, and the reason he was famous is because when he preached, a bunch of people came forward and got saved all the time. But the story and the success is about this elderly woman that sat right over here on the corner of the stage the whole time while the man prayed and prayed for God to grant salvations and heart changes based upon the sermon that week. And the credit goes to the woman praying, not the man's talent in preaching. So goes the story. You might think that because you're not up front here like I am, like I have the privilege of doing week in and week out, that your prayers and that you just praying is, that's meaningless. It's nothing. And that is the furthest thing from the truth. Your prayers, God hears them. God hears them. You are completely powerless unless you accompany your work with prayer. Sweat that comes from prayer is good sweat, church. And we have not worked ourselves up into a prayerful sweat enough yet for God to change us and for us to be changed, to know God's will for your situation. The message for you this morning is keep praying. When God hears his will being prayed, it is sweet to his ears. The slaves in the time of the Exodus cried out to God. And there's a neat little verse in that section right before God sends Moses where it says, God heard the prayers of his people. And God heard the prayers of his people. I don't want to just talk about praying today. I want to pray. I want us to actually pray. The sermon's done. I have nothing more to say to you this morning. And we don't always do this as a church, but what I'm inviting you to do this morning is to come and to pray. You might want to take your spouse by the hand. You might want to take your child by the hand. You might want to go and take someone else by the hand that is not a member of your family. But I am asking you, the invitation today is to pray. Pray in your seats. Pray up by the steps. We must become a praying people and a praying church if we are ever going to have victory over our sins and our struggles in life. And if we are ever going to win the thousands of people flocking to Fort Mill, if we are ever going to win this city and this state to Christ, we have to pray. And so the invitation to you is to come forward and pray. I'm going to be here to receive you if you would like me to pray with you. If you would like to come forward and receive Christ this morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart and you say, Matt, I'm not a Christian. I have zero confidence. It feels like God doesn't even hear me. Maybe for you, it's come forward and pray and place your trust in Christ for the very first time. I'm going to be here to receive you.